Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to distill key insights from a range of sources, making them digestible for you.
That's right.
Today, we're looking into Dr. Vandana Shiva. She's, well, a really complex figure. Some call her the Gandhi of grain, a true environmental hero. Others, an anti-science ideologue.
Quite the contrast.
Exactly. So our mission today is to find the common thread in her work. It's this deep critique of what she terms a violent, reductionist, and patriarchal paradigm of knowledge.
And her alternative vision, Earth democracy.
Precisely. So where does this worldview even start?
Well, it's fascinating, actually. Her PhD from the University of Western Ontario, it wasn't environmental science.
Oh.
It was in the philosophy of science. Her focus was quantum theory.
Quantum theory. How does that connect?
Through concepts like interconnectedness and non-separation. You see, these quantum ideas really push back against that old mechanistic view of the world.
Okay, so seeing things as deeply interwoven from the start.
Exactly. And that became kind of the philosophical bedrock for her ecological thinking later on.
And then came the real world experience, right? The CHIPCO movement.
Right. In the 1970s, she saw these rural women literally hugging trees to stop logging.
A very powerful image.
Immensely. And she saw it wasn't just, you know, emotional. It was based on a really sophisticated, holistic understanding.
They knew the forest as a living system, vital for everything, soil, water.
Their whole way of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that experience, it sort of fused her theoretical ideas with grassroots reality.
Which seems to lead directly into her critique of the Green Revolution.
Absolutely. She doesn't see it as this great success story. For her, it's a form of violence, intellectually and ecologically.
And this is where her idea of the monoculture of the mind comes in.
Precisely. It's her theory of, well, intellectual colonialism. She argues that this dominant Western sort of mechanistic way of knowing, it actively disappears local indigenous knowledge.
Making them seem invalid, maybe.
Exactly. And that intellectual monoculture paves the way for the destructive biological monocultures we see in industrial agriculture. It's a powerful link she draws.
And she redefines productivity, too, doesn't she? Not just about one crop's yield.
Right. She shifts it to total biomass, looking at the health and output of the entire ecosystem, not just the single commodity.
Which connects to her ecofeminism, I suppose.
Very strongly. She argues that the whole modern Western development model is built on dominating both women and nature. Two sides of the same coin for her.
How so?
She identifies what she calls the feminine principle with that life-sustaining regenerative work, things like saving seeds, managing water, traditionally women's roles in many subsistence economies.
Work that's often invisible or devalued in market systems.
Exactly. Systematically devalued.
So what did she do about it, practically speaking?
Well, she founded Navdanya back in 1984. Its mission is all about protecting native seeds, promoting organic farming methods.
Like seed banks.
Yes. A huge network. Over 120 community seed banks across India, conserving thousands of indigenous crop varieties. It's a real concrete example of her Earth democracy idea in action.
And she's known for some very high-profile fights, too.
Oh, definitely.
Like seed sovereignty, fighting against what she calls biopiracy.
Mm-hmm. The patenting of life forms. She had some landmark legal wins there, challenging patents on the neem tree, certain types of wheat, basmati rice.
Traditional resources being claimed by corporations.
That's her argument. And her stance on GMOs is closely linked.
Right. She sees them less as a feeding the world solution and more as...
as a tool for enforcing patent monopolies, basically. Increasing farmer dependency, and she argues, without enough independent safety testing.
And then there are the water wars.
Yeah, resisting the privatization of water. The big example everyone points to is the campaign against the Coca-Cola plant in Plaquemada.
Because it was depleting local groundwater.
Severely depleting it and causing pollution. That campaign was ultimately successful.
Okay, but she's also faced a lot of pushback, hasn't she? Serious criticism.
Oh, absolutely. You can't talk about Shiva without acknowledging the controversy. The New Yorker piece, Seeds of Doubt, was a big one.
What did that focus on?
It questioned her scientific credentials, accused her of misrepresenting data, and specifically of hindering technologies like gold and rice.
The rice engineered to have vitamin A.
Right. The argument being she was blocking a potential solution to deficiency problems.
But Shiva pushes back hard on that, framing it differently.
She does. She frames it often as an epistemological clash. It's not just about the facts, but about whose knowledge counts, who gets to define what's valid evidence. What constitutes science?
So a fundamental disagreement about knowledge itself.
Pretty much. And take the link she often draws between GMOs, particularly brick cotton, and farmer suicides in India. That's highly contested.
Critics point to other factors, right? Like massive debt, market fluctuations, things that existed before GMOs.
Exactly. They argue those pre-existing socioeconomic pressures are the primary drivers, and the link to GMOs is overstated or misinterpreted by Shiva.
So it's complex. There are strong arguments on both sides.
Definitely. But despite all the controversy, you really can't deny her impact.
On the global conversation.
Absolutely. On environmental discourse, on activism. She's advised governments. Her ideas have influenced legislation, like India's Forest Rights Act. And those legal wins against biopiracy were significant.
And just her visibility, right? She's a powerful communicator, a global icon for many movements.
Undeniably. She's armed and inspired people worldwide. She's forced these critical questions about our food, about patents, about our relationship with nature, right into the mainstream. You can't ignore them anymore.
So wrapping this up for you, the listener, Vandana Shiva is clearly this dual figure. Celebrated environmental hero to many, deeply controversial to others.
Yeah, and maybe the takeaway isn't about definitively deciding if she's right or wrong on every single point. Perhaps it's that, regardless of where you personally land on the debates, she forces us all to confront some really fundamental questions like, Wario, who actually controls our food system? Whose knowledge do we value and whose do we dismiss? And maybe the biggest one, what is our ultimate responsibility to the earth? Something to think about.